Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. It's the program that gets you involved in your community, tells you about your community, and maybe what you can do for your community. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and I have the privilege. I'm kind of calling, when I first thought about this tongue-in-cheek, is I have road commissioners with me. I have road commissioners from Kent County, from Osceola County, and from Wexford County. And kind of my working title is Playing in the Street. So I was hoping for a few laughs on that one, but anyway, you might also call it road work. But I'm pleased to have the Wexford County Engineering Manager, Carl Hansen. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you.
And we have Mike Mazzella. He's the manager of the Osceola Road Commission.
Hi.
And we have Steve Warren. He's the Kent County Managing Director of the Road Commission. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Preparing for the show, it's been enjoyable to learn things. Steve is nearing retirement, and he's kind of looking back over his career and kind of it's got some reflective thoughts, and I enjoyed our conversation yesterday. Let's start out, as we traditionally do, with a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to ask a blessing on these civil servants. We want to thank you for the work that they do tirelessly behind the scene, their leadership of their respective departments, and their leadership of human beings to provide a safe environment for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask a question. Steve is kind of the senior one of our group here. Tell our audience a little bit about your experience. You're nearing retirement, and tell a little bit about your journey, your training, your journey, and what you think these three counties have in common.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the recognition of my experienced tenure here. I've been at this business for over 40 years. Started in the early 80s when I came out of grad school at Michigan State University. Not an engineer, but my expertise is planning, traffic planning, project development, environmental studies, which really provided a good foundation for me as I pursued roads and transportation planning. The beauty of the profession is roads really touch the lives of each and every one of us. So not only the public that we serve, but my own family. And so I bring to it a passion for developing good communities through good mobility, good transportation, and having the opportunity to work here in the Grand Rapids area since the early 80s in Kent County. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of challenges with growth and development, and certainly transportation, good roads, good freeways, good highways are an integral part of that. And so from that perspective, it's been very rewarding. We're one of the big five, I guess, in the state. People refer us to as one of the urbanized counties. We're all alike in the sense that we have urban roads, we have roads in suburban areas and roads in developed areas, but we probably have a higher percentage of those types of roads in Kent County, and certainly more of them. It's been a challenge, but it's been a fun challenge at the same time.
Very good. I just had one follow-up question, Steve, and we'll move on to Carl and Mike. it occurred to me, is it possible that the highly urbanized roads may be managed by some other entity than yourself? For instance, the State Highway Department, or maybe cities or towns?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, there's sort of three levels of governance when it comes to road jurisdiction. So you've got state highways. Those are managed so that the improvements are managed, the maintenance is managed at the state level by the Michigan Department of Transportation. That's about 8% of roads in Michigan. About 75% of roads in Michigan are actually under the jurisdiction of county road commissions. So the vast majority, two-thirds of the roads in Michigan, are under the jurisdiction of county road commissions. And then the remainder, about 22%, are actually managed and under the jurisdiction of municipalities, so cities and villages. So 92% of roads in Michigan are what we call local roads, not managed by MDOT or the Michigan Department of Transportation. But in many cases, road commissions contract with MDOT to do the kind of the routine maintenance on state highways. So about two-thirds of us, or 60% of us, actually are partnership with the state to maintain their state trunk line network.
It's interesting, your background is more in planning, so you're highly administrative because of the size being one of the five largest counties. Now let's go to Carl. You're the engineering manager of Wexford County, which is where we're currently broadcasting from, Strong Tower Radio in the Cadillac area. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you came into your current position, and some of your perspectives, as well as the differences between urban and rural.
I did consulting engineering for about 5 years out of school, went to Michigan Tech and got my bachelor's or master's from there. And then I came to the Road Commission about 18 years ago. And so I was the engineer for about 16 years of that. And then I've been promoted to the engineering manager subsequently for the last several years. The similarities are we all basically do a lot of the same thing, right? Some of them on a grander scale, some of them with more technology or more equipment, more guys, more things, but we all have to take and get the road open during the winter. You know, we have to plow snow, we have to salt the roads or sand the roads or whatever. We have to maintain our paved roads in the, you know, summer. And we have to maintain our gravel roads as well. You know, we all have gravel roads that require maintenance. We all have bridges and culverts that need to be replaced and need to be maintained. So from that standpoint, we all do a lot of the same type of thing. There's, you know, a much grander scale in, say, Kent County than there is in Wexford County. Wexford County, we do a lot of maintenance on the state highways as well, similar to Kent County. Osceola doesn't have a state maintenance contract, so MDOT is the one that plows the roads and maintains the shoulders, does the mowing, that kind of thing, on the state trunk lines in Osceola County.
Actually, I'm so glad that Mike is here so that you can represent that another perspective there. One thought here is, I actually lived in Kent County for many, many years, and being closer into the urban area, I was almost shocked when I went down a gravel road in Kent County, but they do exist.
Yeah, about 300 some miles of them, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Mike, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to your current position and some of your perspectives as a non-contracting agency with the state for trunk lines and why that might be.
Yeah, so my background is in consulting engineering. I did that for a number of years and worked with a number of road commissions around the state in terms of consulting and doing transportation projects. But I always liked the work on the local level. I did a lot of work with the DOT and
Department of Transportation.
Right, and different municipalities. But always really enjoyed work with road commissions and was actually working in the Grand Rapids area. And there was an opening here a couple years ago at the Osceola County Road Commission, where I'm from. I was born and raised in Osceola County. And so I
saw. So you knew these roads.
I knew these roads.
They're the ones you always wanted to fix?
Yeah, right. I know them a little better now. And so I came on board a little over a year and a half ago. So I'm a little bit newer than Carl and Steve, but I'm really enjoying my time here. Yeah, we are a rural county. Osceola County is very rural. We have about 600 miles of gravel roads. So a little bit different perspective. We don't have a contract with the Department of Transportation for their roads, so they do plow their own roads in Osceola County, and they have a number of them, 131, 115, and so on. And so that, in one way, is an advantage for us. We can just focus on our own roads, and you know, that's a priority for us. We have no other priority than our own local roads.
Very good. One thought, and I'll let anybody jump in here, but it's the difference between winter and summer is probably a vast difference at the Road Commission. I'm just guessing. I mean, it seems like you probably almost all your energy is towards snow removal and other things like that in the winter, depending on how far north you are. And then in summer, you're fixing those roads. What's the difference between, I'll start with Mike, what's the difference between summer and winter?
Yeah, just like you said, it's a different in priorities. You know, we get that mindset in the winter of we're going to plow the roads. We're on board night and day. On the weekends, you know, we're available to get those roads cleaned off in the winter. In the summer, in the spring especially, we got to fix them up. That's this time right now in the spring is when, all the damage from the winter and the thaw, you know, we're repairing those roads. So.
And some of those gravel roads are becoming more and more difficult. I mean, it's not only the repair, but the passability of some of those are starting to come in question. You got water maybe flowing over if a drain culvert is not draining properly and stuff.
Yeah, especially in the spring when you have your snow melt and the rivers are up, the swamps are up. One of the big problems we have in our county is beavers.
Oh, okay.
All over the county, beaver dams flooding roads. So that's a difficulty for us. So, drainage is a huge issue in all of our roads and culverts, drive culverts, cross culverts, bridges.
So the beavers are doing their own construction, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Every day.
Competing or conflicting. It's interesting. I just thought about this. It popped into my mind. I was in some roads. I can't even remember where. But you've got more technology on those snow plows than ever before. I mean, wing plows. Who wants to jump in and talk about snow removal?
Well, I can do that a little bit. Our inside of our trucks kind of look like a inside of a 747.
Really? Well, I'm going to come out and look the next time.
Yeah, they're actually pretty neat. There's an awful lot of controls in there. You have, like, our trucks that are on the freeway, they have actually a wing on both sides plus all the different sander controls. So, the cost of a truck is really blown up, especially in the last few years.
What does it cost for a truck?
A little over $300,000. One of the time they're rigged out and have all their equipment on them and ready to go.
So you see a quarter to a third of $1 million just run down the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was, it was probably a video. It might have been someplace out west, might have been Colorado. They have three plows running in I was going to say, tandem, but they're triple, whatever that is. And they have things off the side. Maybe it was in Michigan, maybe it was Southeast Michigan, driving and watching other subsidiary devices hanging out the edge. It wasn't only wing plows, but they also had another device trailing behind it.
Yeah, there's MDOT actually has several of them too. They're called a tow plow. And it basically takes in, is a trailer that they tow behind them, and there's a automation that, you know, they trip it and it moves off to the side, and so they can clear, you know, essentially two lanes at once. With wings, you always have to watch traffic, you know, as far as one of the most common problems we have with wings is people, especially on like state trunk line, if there's multiple lanes, then people try and pass the snowplow on the wing side and end up crashing into the wing because they just drive into a big cloud of snow. You'll even do that sometimes on the shoulder. So that's always a issue. Those tow plows are supposedly, you know, a larger thing that people are going to.
They're more on the interstates.
Yeah, they're not something that you really can run on, you know, a lot of two-lane roads or really need to. So
takes a little bit of training.
Yeah, I've never run one, but I've seen them. But our plows that have the wings on both sides, then you can run things like the ramps on the freeways, and you can run the inside of the freeway. So because those, when you have the biggest advantage of wings is you can basically you can clear the lane and the shoulder at the same time. And especially if you have situations where it's blowing, you can knock those drift areas back a lot quicker, and it throws the snow a lot further. Conventionally, you know, like people talk about, well, when I was a kid, the snowbanks used to be this high and, you know, everything. You may have the same snowfall event or even season, but now we're with the wings, we're throwing the snow so much further away from the roadway. It used to be the snow would basically just roll up on the edge and you'd have a big berm there. Now the equipment we're using, we're able to get that snow further back and get it into the ditch, which is, you know, one of the other reasons why ditch is important, not just for the water but for the snow storage. And then hopefully when you have wind events where, you know, blizzards where it's blowing 30, 40, 50 miles an hour for multiple days at a time, you're not drifting. When you have those big banks, the roads will drift in that much quicker. By getting the snow off the road and further away from the road, you don't create those big banks and just basically keep plowing more and more snow because you're creating a spot for that snow to settle out. So that the advent of, and, you know, use of wings has really kind of changed a lot of how road commissions are able to, or road agencies are able to clear their roads. It makes it much more efficient, and it gets the snow further off the road so that in heavy snowfall events, you're able to go through and really open up a road a lot quicker. Yeah.
And with fewer workers.
Fewer trucks, less fuel, you know, less hours, much more efficient. It's a lot easier to clear your intersections, that kind of stuff as well. It helps, you know, minimize those pie shapes that are in the middle when you can make your first pass to try and get the roads cleared off so people don't have to drive through big, huge berms, get stuck on the middle of them, that kind of stuff.
So, Steve, what type of training do you give snowplow operators before you put them out on the road?
Well, all of our snowplow drivers have commercial driver's license or CDL. So there's a lot of training and certification that is required for drivers, for many of our people, including even our mechanics. They have to be certified with a commercial driver's license. Sometimes there's different endorsements because they're also responsible for, you know, application of chemicals, different types of chloride solutions. So a lot of training, not only to acquire that certification, but then to maintain it. There's federal regulations as far as maintaining one's health and being able to be certified. But I guess my comment I would add to on winter maintenance, it's in many ways, winter maintenance dictates sort of the size both in terms of facilities and number of people that road commissions maintain. You think about it, when it's snowing, when there is ice and snow on the roads, it's our first priority, and it's time sensitive. So we need to be out there. So we have to have the right number of trucks, the right number of people. Kent County is a big county, so we have satellite garages throughout the county with material and fuel. And so when it's snowing, you know, we're out there not only maintaining county roads, but our trunk line system. And there's a priority that goes along with that. In addition, we in Kent County maintain a night crew throughout the winter because, you know, Mother Nature doesn't just snow during the day, right? It snows at night as well. And with the amount of commuting traffic, sort of that just-in-time philosophy really dictates much of our operation. The number of snowplow trucks, and in some regard, the number of employees, and it's really something that kind of helps dictate who we are and how we operate.
For instance, the size of your truck would probably be sized for snowplowing, but during the rest of the year, you use it differently, and you may have a larger truck than you need for summer maintenance, but for winter maintenance, that's sets the standard. Is that correct?
Well, we certainly, maybe one of the differences here in Kent County is we have different sizes of snowplow trucks. I mean, most of our fleet is the typical single axle heavy duty truck with a dump box on it. You know, that's kind of our bread and butter for winter maintenance. But we use multi-axle trucks as well because sometimes we need on the state trunk line a larger truck to run those trunk lines because they run longer distances. So they're able to carry more fuel, but primarily more material. So they're out there with more salt or salt-sand combination in that truck, which means they have to come back to the facility less often if they have adequate supply. So depending upon the function, the snowplow route many times kind of dictates the size and the variety of the truck.
Mike, what are frequently asked questions of your department?
One of the frequently asked questions we get is just about how we're funded. You know, a lot of people think that the taxes they pay, the local taxes they pay, go to the road commission. And so, you know, they feel there's a direct link there. And that's actually not true. Our funding is actually state and federal. There's a fuel tax that people pay, and there's a federal and state tax on that fuel tax. And so our funding comes from that, those fuel taxes, also from registration fees that come from the state. So we really don't get any direct funding locally. And so, and because that comes from state and federal, they have certain mandates on how it should be spent on primary and local roads. And so that's one of the big things we try to educate people is, you know, actually we don't get any local funding. It all comes from the state, and they have kind of their mandate on how that should be spent.
How you divide up the pie.
Right.
Carl, a frequently asked question.
We get a lot of questions about some of the different maintenance techniques that we use on our paved roads and on our gravel roads. You know, one of them is, you know, why are you doing a particular fix at a particular time, like on our paved roads? You know, why are you chip sealing it? You know, it's a new road or that kind of thing. Because we do some of those things that are preventative maintenance that might seem counterintuitive. You know, you might want to wait until the road falls apart more before you would chip seal it or something. But all of the information that in studies have shown that the sooner you do some of those treatments, the longer your pavement's going to last, and you'll get more bang for your buck. Similar to if you have a house and you have a little hole and a little leak in the roof, right? If you go up there and you patch that little hole, then it doesn't become a bigger issue. If you wait until, you have to replace all the plywood and everything else, then, you know, the cost just starts to go through the roof. If you literally, if you wait until it gets down into, you have water running down the walls and, you know, drywall and everything else, it gets really expensive quick. Same thing with a road. So the sooner you can do some of those fixes, and if you do them at the right time, it may not be the time that the public thinks it needs to be done. Why don't you fix this road over here? Because this road's really bad or something of that nature. But you can get more bang for your buck by spending the money on the right roads at the right time.
Very good. Steve, what question would you like people to ask you?
Well, I wish they would quit asking me, you know, how do I slow traffic down on my road? That's one of the most frequent complaints. I would agree that funding and you know, sort of the sources of money and why we're fixing different roads and not fixing their road. But in Kent County, with the amount of traffic and development and congestion that we have, speed seems to be one of the most frequently asked questions. How do I slow, or how do you intend to slow down traffic on my road? But if you were to, if I were to ask people, well, I would like you to ask me this question, it would be about funding, I think. And maybe it's, well, how much money do you need to maintain our roads properly? It's not usually a question that the public asks. It's not usually a question that our legislators ask. It's, you know, they really don't seem to want to know, well, what's it going to take to get the job done properly? It's always a matter of, well, you know, what are you going to do with the money you have, and why do you need more money? So I wish that there was more interest in, well, what is it going to take to properly maintain our roads?
That's very good. Well, I want to thank all three of you, road commissioners, directors of the road commissions, Steve Warren of the Kent County, he's the managing director, Carl Hansen, who's an engineering manager of Wexford County, and Mike Mozzella of Osceola County. Thank you so much for being a part of our program today, and thank you for your service to us. We underappreciate and don't understand. I hope that we've opened up the eyes and started our community thinking about roads more than ever before. I'm Tom Azure for Strong Tower Radio Features. Have a good day. Bye now.